Good evening, and it's wine time. It is. So, I'm going to have ribeye today, right? But I went out for hours and forgot to defrost it. I didn't freeze it, it just froze itself, so I then put it in the freezer. And I thought, whatever you do, before you go out, make sure you take the ribeye out of the freezer. And then at some point, I thought, in the afternoon, it was about 3:30, 2 hours ago, I thought, damn, that's what I thought. It's still in the freezer and it's 2 hours. And it was exactly 2 hours. I'm just going to go and grab some strawberries, actually. Hang on a minute. Right. Okay, I've grabbed the strawberries, and we're back in action. Yeah, so all unhappy about the ribeye, but I'm sure it'll defrost by about 10 o'clock tonight, won't it? So that'll be right. And I've got some mushrooms to go with it and strawberries. So what I want to suggest is that red wine and ribeye with mushrooms and strawberries is always, you know, it's a lush food pairing, isn't it? But there's something else, and I want to massively draw your attention to it, because we're just about to tip over the balance and into June, right? And this is what you want to be drinking in June. Okay, now, when it comes to a place like Rhone, I want to see corks, not screw caps, okay? Because it's traditional, but it's surprising how many wines are introducing screw caps. And so I had a look around Sainsbury's, and I was just looking for any wine that looked like it would be half decent and was on an offer, because I didn't want to spend too much money. In fact, the wine and the strawberries between them cost exactly £10. So I suddenly noticed something which I thought, wow, you know, I've never seen a wine actually called that. It's a grape variety. And it's a grape variety you'll have had many, many times over from a place just snuck around the Rhone. I think it's just above the Rhone. And it's called Beaujolais. And the principal grape of Beaujolais is the timeless red one, Gamay. And this wine, as you will see in the picture, is called Gamay, right? But I don't think it's from Beaujolais. Now, you know, it's just a grape, isn't it? But where else in the world do we find Gamay? And the simple answer is the Loire. The Loire Valley can be very, very good at Gamay. And I'm sure they probably have planted some in Australia, because that's the kind of place they do like planting things. Because I think it's just a load of space there and they're trying to fill it up. So this is 12%. It really jumped out at me, right? Gamay. Nice purple screw cap. 2024. And then I notice it says IGP, so that's the geographic indication, and obviously it's not Beaujolais, so that leads us to say, where is it from? And I haven't actually looked yet. Anyway, it's called Comte Tolosane, probably in a French, you know. And it turns out we have a Gamay IGP Comte Tolosane. So let's read and see if we can get anything off of the back label, right? And then we're going to pounce on that screw cap. And with one merciless wrist action, we're going to get inside the bottle. This soft cherry-scented red is light and juicy, bursting with notes of raspberry and blackberry with a hint of spice. The palate is fresh with a lively acidity. The vineyards of Gaillac in southwest France. So there you go, it's not Loire, it's not Beaujolais, it's southwest France. Were first planted in Roman times, so the region has a rich history of winemaking. And the winemaker Jean-Noël Barrault and his team are passionate about the Gamay grape and make wines which showcase its fruity and juicy colour. And it's halfway between light and full bodied at 12%, and it's great with pasta, pizza and barbecues. Oh, I should have read the back label, shouldn't I, because I've got ribeye steak. I just want to point that out, I've got ribeye steak with mushrooms and strawberries. So this is all about a wine pairing, but first of all, what I want to do is I want to taste the wine because I don't know what it's going to taste like. So I've whisked up my cabinet from my memory, which is called Beaujolais, right? And I'm thinking through all the Beaujolais. But this is why it's important for June, because June is the month of the year when strawberries are at their best, and also when it's a nice idea to pop a wine into the fridge door for perhaps 20 minutes. You know, and the thing is, if it's too chilled, we're not going to get the flavour of the wine at all. But on a really, really hot day, it probably doesn't matter, especially if you have a house wine that you drink incessantly all the time. And I've just gone through 3 bottles of Fairtrade Co-op Malbec Bernarda, £6.50 each, in 2 days. Lovely. I had 2 on the first day and 1 on the second day. And so I thought, why not see if I could get something a bit different today? So I got Gamay. So I was excited about it, and it's a strawberry wine. And a strawberry wine to me is a wine that's light-bodied, like a Western Australia Shiraz, okay, or a Beaujolais, that's right. Or some of the Portuguese wines, you know. Or if you want to be really, really boring, a straight Tempranillo Sangiovese. Yeah, I've had some nice Sangiovese. And, you know, they're just going to work nicely with strawberries and chilling slightly. But I haven't chilled this one, right, because I want to know what it's like. And then what I will do is later I will chill it, okay, and see what I think then. And then I will unchill it, right? So let's get inside this bottle. Ready? I've been talking about the wrist action. I've said it's like picking up a pen and then turning a dial. That's how you play the piano. Get a massive whiff of really bright red cherry. So as ever, I'm going to taste this in my Merlot Masterclass glass and my truncated glass and see what we're going to get out of this. Oh wow, it's red, but it's a really, really, really pale seafood sort of red. I've put way too much in that glass, shall I just pour some into the other glass? There we go. You've got to leave plenty of room for swirling because you want to see those sexy legs, yeah? So I just, right. So let's get inside of this wine, right? And then I'll share the pairing. So this is the nose of the truncated glass. Wow, it's amazing. It's like, I just feel like I'm walking through a forest glade. There's quite a lot of licorice on there, right, on the nose. But there's also, I've never had before, absolute ton of herbs, you know, from tarragon to rosemary to marjoram. Garige. So that's very herbaceous, okay. And the nose on the Merlot glass. Maybe I shouldn't have stuck my nose in the glass, huh? Whoa. It's very, very sharp. So, lovely colour. I'll do a picture of the colour in a minute. But, it looks like a really regal sort of red. I mean, it's just very impressive. It's something you just want to look at, you know? Don't want to drink it. So it's really powerful and sort of a massive tart cherry. Okay, so let's try the truncated glass first. The trouble is, when you try a wine like this, you don't really know what you're going to expect. And you know, let it sort of circulate around the inside of your mouth. Do get yourself a glass of wine, by the way, while I'm chatting. And it blows your mind sometimes. Right, hopefully it does. But of course, when you then try it again, it doesn't. And even if it's another glass. So I'm going to take a drop of water in between the two glasses, okay, and just see what I get. So this is the truncated glass. Now, I wasn't sure what I was going to get. But we're dealing with a very specific grape varietal that's one of the absolute best for really showcasing itself, you know, by itself. And it's a tremendously rich, glorious sort of fruit-filled experience. It's not really a grape varietal that ever gets oaked heavily. It probably would blend with a lot of other grape varietals, you know, like Carignan especially, but it's almost seen to be, you know, a religious no-no to blend Gamay with anything. So you generally, if you do find a Gamay at all, it's either from Beaujolais, Loire, or in this case, Comte de Tolosan, which I haven't heard of before. So it'll be very terroir specific. And so it's trying to build a tradition, you know. Strangely enough, for a fairly light-bodied wine, it's massively licorice, in all the best possible ways, with a dash of really, really strong, like Java Lava hot roast coffee at the back of it as well. It didn't do a lot in my mouth, right? It didn't coat the top of my mouth or burst like dynamite, okay? If anything, it just felt satin smooth. But it's afterwards, it's really burning its way out of my esophagus. So let's go for a touch of water in the other glass. Yeah, I'm quite excited about finding a wine like this because you do get the impression you're, you know, helping a specific winemaker from a specific region, from a specific vineyard. You're actually doing something in the world. You're not just glugging up the wine lake, you know? Or the kind of garbage that Australia puts in a bottle. Right. Let's try this one. So it's got very, very nice legs. It's, they're very seductive and they're just opulent. That's what I think. It's an opulent wine. Quite, old cherry. That's what I'm getting there for a minute. Sort of almost cherry bark. Cherry, like the kernel of the cherry or whatever. And a bit of red apple as well. Tiny little bit of celery. And, you know, spices like tarragon herbs. It's not coming across as a massively fruit-filled wine, actually. It's all sort of herbs and forest stuff, right? What I really like about this is when you go to somewhere like the Rhone or Bordeaux, you know, before you try a bottle, there are cheap and cheerful wines, which are probably like 100% of what you drink. And you know that there are wines made in the region that sell for hundreds and hundreds of pounds a bottle, and they're just for very rich people, right? But what I love about a wine like this is it's a great equaliser, because this is the only Gamay Comte de Tolosan by this winemaker that you're ever going to find, and it's a really specific handcrafted model, right? And it's going to be what it is to the rich and to the poor, but the only people that are going to really appreciate it are me and the people that do exactly what I'm going to suggest in a minute with it, okay? So I'm just so excited. There's all this fierce red cherry, but also dark black cherry, and quite a bit of cinnamon wood. There's sort of a barkiness in there. Whoop! And tons of licorice and foresty, sort of what you'd expect it tastes like if you put your feet under, you know, leaves that have been there for ages, months, and then you kind of tasted the soil or whatever underneath it. It kind of tastes like that, but that's good. That's a good thing. I'm definitely going to enjoy this wine. My only worry is that I'll have drunk it all before the ribeye has defrosted, but I do still have a tiny bit left of the Bernarda. So anyway, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to get inside of these Kentish strawberries called Floris. now, very nice looking. And they smell like strawberries, which is amazing for the last week of May. So what I'm going to do is I've kind of put my two thumbs together and one forefinger is over the strawberry. And the rest of my other hand is gripping a very, very sharp knife. And I'm just going to slice the strawberries. That's right, you did hear that right. Slice the strawberries, plop, into the wine, because you may or may not have thought of this before, but strawberries are actually quite juicy things, and what's going to happen if you slice them nice and thinly is that the strawberry juice is then going to mix with the wine, which may or may not be quite chilled. Oh, it's, you know, it doesn't really matter, it's nice either way. But if you slice strawberries incredibly thinly, all the juice comes out, and that juice is going to mingle with the wine. And I only actually really do this in June. It's a one month a year thing, and I have to say it is the ultimate food and wine pairing. Gamay, has to be Gamay, doesn't matter where it's from, it has to be Gamay and very thinly sliced strawberries. Okay, so I've just put one strawberry in per glass, but I haven't got much in each glass, but anyway, yeah, I'll just taste it and then I'll do some pictures. Okay, so, you know, you could say this is really very understated, but do you do this? Do you buy Gamay in May? Ready for June, obviously. And do you slice strawberries thinly in it? And have you even thought about it? Don't forget, you can chill the wine a bit, but don't do what I did and put it in the top of the fridge, because it might freeze, and then you've got a problem. If you've got a white wine, by the way, this is a parenthesis, that you're not mad about, freeze it overnight and then let it just defrost again in the fridge door, and you've created an ice wine, which can be a very nice wine. It's a good tip, that. Verdicchio is perfect, and Vermentino can work really well as well. I mean, a flabby old Chardonnay will definitely cheer up like that, but don't buy one in the first place, is my... That's my top tip. Yes, so you see, what I personally think is, I personally think Gamay is the most sensual grape variety of all. It's really just poetry on stilts. And what it needs is a bit of strawberry juice, actual strawberry juice, actually mingling with the wine immediately, right? You know, you can just eat the strawberry bits after you've finished the wine. It just zips it up like nothing on earth. So you try it. Get yourself a bottle of Gamay. Doesn't matter where it's from. Gamay is just... I mean, it does taste very similar, you know, wherever you get it from. The very best Beaujolais is just taste of strawberry juice anyway, right? But there's lots of different villages as well. You can explore them. There's like Chirobla and Fleury and Morgan and others. I can't remember them all. But anyway, if you can get a Beaujolais village, you know, that's really something. It's like a Rhone village, but it is just Gamay, and it's just the most poetical, sensuous wine in the world. Like me. That is absolutely glorious. I actually eat this one and much, much prefer in the round-bottomed glass. I don't think it's showing to its full potential in the truncated glass, but it's very nice. It's just opulent and lush. I'm kind of torn. I'm not sure. I quite like the tartness from the truncated glass. And it's a little bit too velvety, perhaps, from the rounded glass. So there you go. It's not often I find that. I'm not really sure, right? But I'm far too lazy to wash up another different glass. So it's going to have to be these two, I think. And another thing that would go really nicely with it is blackcurrant jelly with blueberries, okay? And possibly even banana. You know, and you could start experimenting with other fruits, but don't. What I want you to do is to get a strawberry, right? And just slice it really, really Finley into that Gamay, and, you know, over the course of the day, experiment with it chilled and unchilled and see what you think. I mean, it does depend, you know, where you are and how hot it is and that sort of thing. And so I've got to make this last now until late this evening when I can have my ribeye. But I've got things to do. I'm just thinking about cutting my hair and hennaing it with the henna that doesn't make my hair go any different colour, which is, like, I have to be honest with you, it's a total pisser, right? Because you've not only spent the money on it, it's damn well not doing anything. And you just look at yourself afterwards and think, what a mug, what a mug. I've done that 3 times now until I've used it up. What's the sense in it? And then you think, where do I get the next lot? Because I don't want to buy the same lot, do I? And it says best before something or other 27, you know? Some things in this life just are, aren't they? Like, you know, when you're just trying to get in somewhere and some idiot is parking their car on the wrong side of the road. Oh. I don't go out that much anymore because I'm just fed up of idiots. Do you know what I mean? So I just go out to get my wine, unless it comes to me. And then I slice strawberries into it. So anyway, have lots of fun with that. It's a really good idea. And you heard it here first. And, you know, if you don't think that's the ultimate food and wine pairing in the entire world ever, there's seriously something wrong with you. And don't forget, as plan B, I've got ribeye, mushrooms, and just sliced strawberries all over the plate. So I will be eating, you know, lush, rare ribeye with luscious sliced strawberries, thinly. Yeah, and sliced mushrooms, I expect, as well. Yeah, so my top tip is Gamay. See what you can find. Ask around. It's almost invariably 12% Gamay. It's a wine variety that is just very, you know, it is what it is kind of thing. Anyway, I'm going to have a whole ball of fun. I've got some dice here, listen. And, that's 2 ones, 2 twos, 2 sixes, and a 5. And I'm just going to have a lovely, lovely afternoon. I'm going to cut my hair right now, otherwise I won't get around to it. I'm going to henna my hair. I'm going to think about looking at the washing up, but not actually do it. And then I'm going to play some chess. I've got Nets Minute off, and so I'll play through some of his games. And then I'm going to get stuck into Jane Austen's Emma. And if you want my advice, which you do, that's why you listen to these audios, right? You're going to get yourself stuck inside of Jane Austen's Emma and don't come out until you've crawled right through, under and out the other side. Do you know what I mean? So, chin chin. A beautiful afternoon it is. Beautiful. Really, really beautiful.